Welcome to the Flatlands Field and Foul Podcast with your hosts, Dwayne Dirksen and Tanner Friesen. Stay tuned for all kinds of hunting talk, outdoors talk, various other topics. You're sure to have a good time. You're in good hands. Two spiritual dangers in not owning a farm. One is the danger of supposing that breakfast comes from the grocery store, and the other, that heat comes from the furnace. Welcome here, episode 2, Flatlands Field Fowl Podcast. Welcome here, old son.
Episode 2. Man, the weeks fly by.
I suppose they do. Good night.
Yeah. Good week.
I'd say.
Wow. For some folk.
I don't know if you want to get into that, but...
Slight hospital visit, they say. Nothing like the ER.
Couple days. Couple days ain't no thing.
Well, at least it's Canada and we have free healthcare. So that's nice. Not dinged with a bill.
Free healthcare in quotation marks.
Yeah, at the door.
You pay for it every day you go to work.
True enough.
In a roundabout way, I suppose. Well, yeah, it's... The day before St. Patrick's Day, and here we are sitting on the floor.
Boy, howdy. St. Patty's Day.
It's coming up.
Comes up quick.
I don't know about you, but I don't have any Irish in my blood.
I actually do.
Do you know?
Yes, my father's side is Luck of the Irish. A couple lucky charms. Apparently I did not inherit that gene.
The double champ does what he wants. There you go.
That's a horrible
rendition of... The double champ,
Mr. Conor McGregor,
yeah.
Conor McGregor. Hopefully he'll fight again.
Well, hopefully. Quick plug to that intro quote there. That's Aldo Leopold.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah. A great contributor to conservation many moons ago. I believe that was found in the Sand County Almanac that he wrote. It's called A Sand County Almanac. Hmm. Not the Sand County Almanac.
Who's counting? I'm sure if you Google...
He's since croaked, so...
Don't want to speak ill of the dead.
But, I mean, he's not going to be calling in.
He won't be writing in, no.
Well, I hear you got something started up. Tell me about it, Mr. Tanner Friesen.
Yeah, so...
I think it's called something with oaks in it?
Yeah, Tall Oak Pursuit. You can follow me on Instagram at TallOakPursuit18. Basically, just sharing stories of guys hunting the prairies and the stories that go along with it, I think.
And where tall oaks are?
Where the tall oaks are, yeah. That name, I honestly just thought of the farm. And the farm that I grew up on had a bunch of tall oaks.
Well, did you now?
I did.
All right.
So, yeah, that's kind of where I got the name from, and... I shot my buck out of a tall oak, so maybe that was subconsciously.
Out in the old...
Southernly part of the province.
In this near...
Near the border.
Near, close to swampland.
Oh, pert near swampland. It's a little... We call it goo out there.
We're not going to disclose the exact location or the name of the area.
No, I really don't feel like giving away my hunting land. But, yeah, so that's kind of where I'm taking that. I don't know where it'll go or what it'll be exactly.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, not too different than Flatland Field and Foul. I think it's kind of more of a conjoined thing. We're both working towards the same goal, and we'll drag the other whichever direction we kind of go.
Pretty much.
If you guys got any, stories, pictures, something you want to share, you're more than welcome to shoot me a message on... Facebook. You can find me on Facebook too, as Tall Oak Pursuit. If you got any stories you want to share, feel free to send them in and we'll get you published up there.
Cool. Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Sounds promising.
You know what else is promising?
I have no idea. Fill me in. Kevin Harvick
at Phoenix.
The closer.
Three-peat. Folks, go back to episode 1. I just want to put that out there. I did say he had tremendous luck in Phoenix. And that guy dominates Phoenix.
Well, he dominated on Sunday.
And the glass slap heard around the world. Whew.
So he is, I think, one of 25 drivers in history, 24, 25-ish, in the 20s somewhere, to win three races or more in a row.
Well, Logano did it 2 years ago.
I think there's only 25 drivers in history that have, in the Cup Series of NASCAR, that have won three or more races in a row. 25, I think I read.
Jimmy's done it.
It was less than 30. Yeah. Jimmy's done four.
Jimmy's done four.
That was 2007 in the playoffs, correct?
In the, yes, I believe so. Logano won three to start the season, I believe. I think he closed out the first three races of the year and lost in Phoenix.
Tough go.
Well, it's only 22.
Ah, he's no slouch. Bit of a slow start to the year for him, but seems all those Penske Fords are having a tough time.
Pencil neck himself.
There's worse drivers.
Yeah, there is.
He doesn't go off on too many tangents.
He just fights.
Yeah, this is true. Oh, he dumped us on the back straight. Well, yeah, so we talked about Harvick having a chance for that three-peat, and there he goes doing it.
And may I say, dominated.
And he's from California, isn't that right?
I can tell you right away.
I think he is. So this Sunday, we're coming up to Fontana, which is in L.A.
Yes, it is.
And I don't understand why they call it
Fontana.
Fontana, but yeah. Is that like a suburb of L.A. or something?
It very well could be.
But
I never understood that name either. I know KB has had some good luck out in Fontana, if I remember correctly.
Which KB are you talking about?
Sorry, Kyle.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Kyle Busch, the 18 Busch. Car, the 18, candy man.
18 M&M.
Rowdy Busch.
Rowdy is right.
Skilled driver.
Wheelman.
He's a wheelman.
Terrible attitude, but he's a wheelman.
If you're planning on doing some things under the law and you need a wheelman, he'd be a contender.
Start calling him Baby Driver. Never seen that movie.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, about some guy that got into an accident, lost his eardrums, so he drives with earbuds in all the time. Apparently got rave reviews. Never seen it, though.
Didn't even hear about it.
It looked pretty good. I wanted to go see it, but...
I tend to live under a rock that I sit on while I hunt.
Yeah, that's fair.
That makes sense? It's gonna have to.
Bakersfield, California.
Ooh, on the streets of Bakersfield. Dwight Yoakam, Buck Owens.
December 8th, 1975.
42 years old.
Yes, sir. He is quite the... he's the all-time wins leader at Phoenix.
How about that? What does he have, 9, 10?
9.
Woo! He ain't no slouch.
Nope, that he is not. However, that's pretty near his first couple big wins in the Ford since he made the jump.
So how about that 48 car? Speaking of 42-year-olds, Jimmy Johnson. He lost his primary sponsor for the end of the year.
Yeah, that's...
Lowe's.
I mean, I think a lot...
Is that a low blow?
Pun intended.
Pun intended.
Pun intended. I think people are looking a lot into it. I mean, sponsors come and go in this in day and age. Especially...
They come and go, but... Hear me out. He's had them for... Was it 18 years?
Since he started.
Since he started.
For a one. He's been there. They've been his primary sponsor. Here's the thing, though.
Seven-time champ.
Seven-time. Here's the thing. You gotta remember, long gone are the days of TV being your primary sponsorship. Or being your primary way to get your name out there. There is so much social media and that's everything true out there, right? So, Lowe's leaving the 48 team. Yeah, it could be big. I know it could, like I was saying last week, it could be the end of Jimmy's career. They could be leaving Hendrick because Jimmy's leaving Hendrick.
I suppose.
Way I see it.
Or maybe they're just done with racing. Maybe they've...
Well, they've been in the sport long before Jimmy was there.
Yeah.
Because they were with the 5 car. It was a little
spot. Mark Martin.
He won
3 in a row.
That guy was a heck of a wheelman, too. But yeah, so I think it was just probably Lowe's time to move on and find other avenues and stop spending. I mean, to sponsor the hood of one car for one race is $500,000. That's a lot of money down the drain. And I mean, I don't think you can blame a slow start. I mean, Jimmy is known to start at the back and
work his way forward. Reminds me of Cowboy Cerrone. He usually starts his fights a little slow.
Picks it up by the end.
Ends up head kicking you and you go to sleep on the canvas.
A dirt nap. Kurt Neer.
Dirt naps.
Hey. And yeah, how about that number 9? Chase Elliott.
P3.
P3, only Chevy in the top 10.
Yeah. Well, like we said last week, we're pulling for you, Mr. Elliott.
If you ever get around to hearing this, we are pulling for you.
We are. We'd like to see you win soon.
Sooner rather than later.
I'd say.
You put Blaney in a Pepsi car, all of a sudden the kid can just, I mean, he could motor, but.
Well, he was motoring in Wood Brothers too, but.
I mean, that is pretty much Penske.
Funny how Blaney seems to be the only Penske car that's actually, like, contending.
If I was any other Penske driver, I'd be mad because they do not have what he's got.
Yeah, maybe it's the skill, I don't know. Maybe those other fellas have passed their prime, I don't know.
Very well.
I'm no professional.
Me neither, I'm just a spectator.
I just watch it on TV.
Yeah, there's your weekly NASCAR recap.
Moving on. Or should we? Go Chase.
Yeah. Woo! Cheer him on. Number 9, DI9. Still haven't figured out what that means.
Is it supposed to be like a DIY? Like a
that's what I was wondering, but like...
That he's going to drive himself up to the front?
I'd reckon that's a pretty big shot at your team that needs to get you there. Like, if you've ever seen the movie Cars...
Yeah.
It's a pretty good movie. For being a kid's movie, it's a pretty good movie.
For being a kid's movie, it's a pretty darn good movie.
And Lightning McQueen basically tells his whole team to screw off. I mean, I'd reckon that's not a great thing to do. Who's going to change your tires?
Who's going to change your tires?
Who's going to put Sunoco race fuel in your vehicle?
Who's going to
have a gun go down?
Who's going to check your tape in the front? Who's going to take your peel-off windshield screen?
Who's going to drop 2 rounds in the pan hard bar? As Chad Knauss would say. Everybody else calls it a track bar, but they call it a pan hard bar. I don't know why. Anyway, moving on.
So, you were out in the White Shell today.
I was out in the southern part of the White Shell Provincial Park today.
Where are you now? Yeah, that is a very popular park here in Manitoba. It's a provincial park.
Yep.
A lot
of recreation goes on in that park.
Yeah, lots of lakes.
Good fishing. Actually, world-renowned fishing, I found out today. Talking to one gentleman.
Well, that's a common... I thought that was common knowledge.
Well, I'd reckon if you're into the angling side of things, it would be common knowledge.
You taking a shot?
No.
All right.
I'm saying I'm not into the... I like catching fish, but I also am not the biggest angler.
Nor am I.
I don't like
fish. Nor am I.
I would rather have antler mass than fins.
I like red meat.
Preferably. Although you can get red meat in the fish. Salmon is kind of reddish.
I like mammals.
Servants.
Servants. And
hooved,
ursuses.
Hooved and pawed creatures.
And feathered friends from the sky.
Jewelry. Sky jewelry.
Sky jewelry. Oh! Quick plug for NASCAR here. MTJ just won the pole for Fontana.
Woo!
On Sunday.
For the first time this year,
yeah.
Stage winner.
MTJ.
MTJ.
Oh! And KB18. P2.
Oh, well.
That's going to be a good battle.
That would be a good one.
No wonder where Harvick qualified. Oh, well, too late.
Hey, Chase got a penalty.
Did he?
At the end of the last race.
Seems like everybody's getting penalties these days.
Well, NASCAR supposedly is cracking down. But anyway, back to the whole scouting thing here.
Yeah, let's hear about it.
So
you saw a few deer. You got some big plans for the White Shell, hey?
Coming up. Yeah, so I was out there actually for work, and I figured, well, I might as well use the opportunity to take a little poke around. And, yeah, just started kind of walking some cliffs and getting just a general feel for what I'm going to be going through out there.
Okay.
And,
quick side note.
Sure.
The White Shell Provincial Park is in the Canadian Shield. So it's not prairies there. It is shield land and there's rock cliffs and faces and.
Boy, howdy, is there ever.
It's all, the soil is all sandy. It's mostly a coniferous population of trees out there, you know, deciduous being things with leaves, and conifers are the ones that have cones. That's how I remember it. I think for a second, say, conifer, Conifer. Cone. Coniferous.
There you go.
Cones.
Yeah. You sound like Dwight off The Office right there.
Well, he is one of my favorite characters.
He's a great guy. I'd like to shake his hand. Anyway, so yeah, I was doing a little bit of scouting out there and actually managed to find a few sheds a bit in the distance. Brought a pair of binoculars with me.
Did you know?
That was smart. I had to wait for...
Smart, buddy. SMRT.
SMRT. Never bring a pair of binoculars into the truck. But anyway, so yeah, big plans for out there. I know we're planning in the next... Or I'm at least planning in the next couple weekends to head out there and spend some time just walking and maybe pick up some antler. And
well, I suppose if you can find them, you can pick them up.
I'd reckon that's free game. You can sell them around here. A lot of guys are buying them.
For what?
Jewelry.
I suppose.
It's a big thing. I got myself a ring. Made out of a deer's antler. But yeah, so seen probably about 75 deer today.
Holy cow.
Oh yeah, there's deers left, right, and center. I tell you what though.
Catching deers.
Booner. Didn't see any booners today.
Well, you're not going to see booners
this time of year. There's some big body deer, but...
If anything, the nubs are just starting now. It might even be a bit early, but I guess each individual deer is different than the next.
Yeah.
So
I swore I saw nubs today, but again, I was driving, so that very well could have been a part of the bush too.
It could have been your eyes telling your body that, oh, I need more coffee.
No, sir, I got to lay off the coffee now, apparently.
Oof.
Only one a day. I'd reckon that's all a fella needs, but some days, you know, you could use a 5 or 6.
You know what, I've tried to wean off coffee a bit, and it's just, it doesn't, the more I drink in the day, it just doesn't taste good anymore.
Oh, I don't have that problem.
I can handle drinking a cup or two at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then sometime, usually in the afternoon, but otherwise it's like, okay, I don't want this.
Oh, I can drink coffee from sun up till probably about 1 o'clock. If I drink coffee after 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I cannot sleep. For the life of me, I'll toss and turn in bed all night.
Yikes.
Too much caffeine.
Tough go.
But I could drink it from 5 in the morning till 1 in the afternoon and love every sip.
I guess it depends on the day for me as well, but...
Yeah, true enough.
I guess the coffee that we drink at work is not very good, so...
Some of that black tar.
That might have something to do with it.
That could be it. So yeah, basically we're planning on scouting that. I know I've talked to you a little bit about going out for maybe a weekend or two.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just a couple days. I mean, it's not that far to drive.
No, it's not.
And so, yeah, hoping to get...
For archery. Archery deer hunting.
Spot and stalk.
Buck deer hunting.
Well, I don't know if I'll do buck. I mean, I'd like to go out there for a couple buck hunts, but... I mean, that is DMZ.
That's right.
You can take 3 unantlered animals.
But
after your first buck.
After your first buck.
Yeah.
So you have to get your buck.
You have to get your buck.
You have to get your buck.
And you have to be in. Actually, that's not true. You have to be in possession of
a tag
first.
Oh, you don't have to fill it.
No, you can buy all 4 tags at one gas station if you want to. It doesn't have to be filled. So you can take. You can walk in there with 4 tags, take 3 does, and hope you see it.
And then head off to another area.
Exactly.
And take your booner.
And still have your 3. I think, though, if you come with 3 does in the back of your truck box and a full buck tag, the COs would have a problem with that. I would reckon. Because it's technically still classified as a 2nd, 3rd, and 4th deer.
Yeah.
Tag. So I don't know how that works. Maybe you do have to fill that buck tag first. I don't know exactly. I would reckon, but... So yeah, anyway, that's kind of the plan, to go out there and start scouting. I know I did a little bit of pre-scouting on the old GPS and topographical map to just get a general idea of, you know, maybe some funnels I can use and some land characteristics that I can use to my advantage.
Well, hooved animals can't exactly... Oh boy, I just caught myself. I was going to say, hooved animals cannot climb faces. Boy, was I wrong. Look at the sheep.
Deers can do it,
that's
too.
That's true.
I saw a deer. I was driving down number 1, headed towards Prada.
Yep.
We got a great ice cream store, by the way.
There's
a plug for Prada ice cream.
Stop in. Grab some fuel, grab some ice cream, grab a burger.
They have a really good burger up there.
It's a little greasy.
You know, when you're coming back from the lake, sometimes you just want a little bit of grease in you.
Or the last thing you need is more grease.
True. Coming back from hunting, that's a good thing to have in you, because you probably didn't get a whole lot of fat in you while you're out hunting, unless you blocked a deer. And even then, you kind of don't want to eat that towel. pretty waxy substance.
There's ways to do it, but
it's gotta be piping hot. If you're gonna eat deer fat, it's gotta be piping hot.
But realistically, if you're just eating a cut out of a deer, it's not like a fat old cow.
No,
it's extremely lean.
Not like that bird of beef.
Not like that bird of beef. Get those grill marks, bud.
S&P, the choice for me. So yeah, how about you mentioned a little bit about some of your baiting tactics this year. How's that going?
Just working on the plan still. We are halfway through March right now, and the season opens at, it's always, in Manitoba, the bear season starts in spring. The spring bear season starts the last Monday of April, which falls on the 30th this year. And in the area that I bait in, oh, I got the burps.
That'll happen.
Excuse me. The area that I bait in, actually most of the allowable baiting areas in Manitoba, there is no restriction on really when you can bait from. So provided if the snow is like pretty much gone or you can get the quad in nicely, like easily, I'd like to get my first ones out kind of Canadian, I guess, no, that's not Canadian Easter, it's everybody's Easter weekend, beginning of April. First weekend of April, I'd like to get out there and get some stuff filled up. I plan on moving my main bait. I think I'm only running one this year. We'll see.
It's a big bait? Big bait site?
Yeah. I plan on moving it a little bit further back, deeper into the bush, into another... like, there's a creek swamp kind of deal close by. So yeah. I'm going to move further, deeper into the bush, away from where anybody might be, and closer to that water source. It already is close to the water source, but it's going to be even closer now.
We'll make it easy for them.
Yeah.
They will come.
They will come. And I have, just from looking at satellite maps, you know, you can kind of tell where you want to go, but I'll have to put boots in the ground to verify that. And...
cannot confirm.
Cannot confirm at this time. I'm pretty certain it'll work. But that depends on, I guess, how swampy it is there. I'm pretty sure that...
well, you know, I would reckon this year is going to be pretty good for the wetness. We didn't get a whole lot of moisture.
Yeah.
I know there is some snow in the forecast coming up, but I think it's going to be pretty easy for guys to get back. Especially with the super swampers you got on the old rig there.
Those aren't no super swampers.
Well, whatever. They're pretty much tractor tires.
Well, yeah.
You got paddles on those things.
That they do. Maxxis Zillas.
Oh, Maxxis
Zillas. Heck of a tire. Super Swamper is an interco tire.
Okay.
They also make heck of good tires.
They do make a really good tire. We have Super Swampers on our bush rig. And
yeah. So, yeah. Looking to move the bait and... I believe the bush gets denser back there, so that's nice. I mean, it is fairly, it's pretty good where it is now, but density is key, you know, to provide a false sense of security to the bears, because they like the dense stuff, especially when they know that there's humans around. They're no slouches. They know a thing or two.
I reckon.
And
they're smart critters.
They are smart critters. Gonna hopefully... do some building at the bait site. You're gonna... oh man, I forget what it's called.
Speaking of building.
Here, I'm gonna quickly see if I can pull it up. I'm gonna build... I plan to build some... oh, good night. What is it called? This is gonna... here we go. If it loads. Sorry, folks. I go off on a tangent and I don't even have my evidence to back myself up.
Oh, good grief.
Shoot. Here we go. Oh. What's it called? Ah, it's called a crib. So basically all it is a fence. Basically it's gonna be a hallway, hopefully. Hopefully there's the trees to set this up. basically a hallway with a closed end.
Sure.
So that the bears have to go in a certain way to give you that perfect shot. To get that perfect kill.
You want to funnel them.
You want to funnel them.
Yeah, yeah, I got you.
You want to give yourself every advantage you can get to get that good, clean kill. So
I reckon you want to funnel them in a way where you can get them beside something that you know the size of to judge them.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's like putting your bait barrel perpendicular.
Yeah.
If that's the right word.
I like to always make markings of various heights.
Yep.
Especially.
Break up tape measure.
Yeah. Or just, this is barrel height.
This is
big. Make visible markings that you can, like multiple ones that you can easily tell as the bears come by. Okay, this is this bear is this big, this bear is this small, etc. You know, make various, if you say you hang a beaver from a tree, make 6, 7, 8 foot markings, because put it in a spot your trail cam can see it, so you can, you know, nocturnal bears are very frequent, it's the way it goes. Make every marking you can so you can get as much research basically on the fly as you can get. I mean, it's available, so I think you should use it. Use every tactic or every advantage you can find.
Just tips of the trade, really.
Yeah.
Trade secrets,
I suppose.
Now, I don't remember. Did last week, did we get into what you're running in your bait? You don't have to give away specifics, but what, like...
No, we didn't.
For a fella that's, you know, maybe starting out in the bear baiting industry, or endeavor, if you will, what's a fella looking to put in for the first time?
For the first time!
Like, I reckon you just wouldn't want to throw a bunch of dead things in there, because that would rot pretty quick.
That is a key thing to have, is rotten flesh.
Rotten flesh?
Rotten meat.
Rotten flesh.
Rotten meat and bones, that's always good to have.
I'd reckon though you wouldn't want too much of it. You want something sweet smelling, would you not? Draw them in a little
you
bit.
You want both.
Okay.
You want both.
All right.
So, what I like to use, I'll give away my secrets here. What I like to use is, depending on availability, let's say somebody has this for this price or it's free or whatever. Typically, I run straight oats from the bin, and sorry about that. Quick plug for our favorite bow brand, Diamond by Bowtech.
In God we trust.
In God we trust. Back to bait.
Back to baiting.
Oats from the bin. Or another good thing, I mean, because oats are cheaper than this, but sweet feed.
Yep.
So that's something you feed your horses, right?
Horses, cattle, really anything you want to put mass on.
Yeah. So sweet feed is corn, oats, molasses, and
usually barley.
Barley or wheat.
Barley or wheat, depending on what the prices are.
Yep.
And you can get it.
It's a four part composition.
Yep. I know we feed it to our steers right before our selling time. You know, just bulk up,
yep.
Put a little extra marbling in the fat, which is always what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Looking for that good bird of beef or Toba beef.
Toba beef.
And you can get sweet feed on for good sales at a time. You just got to buy lots of it.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you have, let's say, straight corn or straight oats or some kind of grain like that available, just use that.
Yeah.
If you can get your hands on it for cheap or free, don't complain. Use it. So I like to use, so I'll tell you what I did last year. I did oats, tons of oats, and restaurant grease, tons of that. Get as much as that as you can get your hands on.
All right.
And use it. Don't use it
Use it liberally.
Use it liberally. Use it to its full advantage, because it's a sticky substance. The bear will get on their paws. They walk away from the bait site. Oh, guess what? They just made a scent trail.
So they know where they're coming back to.
Yeah. And other folks in the area say, well, that smells good. Let's go find that.
Let's go find that food source. Now, that raises an important question that I've always heard. And I can never confirm this because, again, I'm not much of the Ursus hunter myself. I've heard that there is something unpredictable about the oil on a beaver to a bear.
It's the best bait you can use.
Beavers.
Beavers.
So do you trap beavers in your off season? I guess never would be an off season, but.
I've unsuccessfully tried trapping throughout the winter, but that was mostly because of a poor location choice.
Okay.
So basically we wait till the thaw comes, which is before, like the water will be flowing before the bear season starts.
Oh yeah.
So go and get them that way. Once the water's flowing and everything, you know, get them on the bank and botch them there. Botch! Or trap them, whatever, run some conny bears. Don't get your fingers trapped in there, boy howdy.
Seen that done a time or two.
That's something you'll regret.
Yeah, I'd reckon.
Yeah, oats, grease. I like to go to Cabela's and buy some synthetic scents, like bacon or donuts or sweet-smelling stuff, butter popcorn. Oh, I also like to use popcorn.
It's fairly popular for folks around
liberally
here.
Pop popcorn. Just get some cheap stuff from the
dollar store.
Bulk aisle or whatever. Yep. Or wherever it's cheapest.
Spend a night popping corn.
Spend a night popping corn, popping in some grease or whatever, some oil, canola oil or whatever it is, and
let her bark. Fire up the old Mira Gropa.
Yeah.
There's some Plout Beach for you.
Yeah.
Basically, for all you folk that don't know Plout Beach, a Mira Gropa is a big cauldron that you light a fire underneath. It's a big old pot.
Yeah.
We've boiled sausage, we've done crackles, which is just basically
Yuraiva.
Yeah.
It's pig fat and little bits of meat that come with it.
Yeah, it's kind of just your scraps after you're done cleaning up a pig. I know we used to always make crackles when we were getting bear baits ready, because we would always shoot a couple pigs. We had a couple pigs on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
We'd shoot those pigs, quarter them out, and then we'd always take some scraps and make crackles and then can those, because they are good. That, I tell you what, you're sitting around a campfire, cold, wet, and miserable, you'd be surprised what a jar of warm crackles can do to a fellow's soul.
Yeah, no doubt.
That'll get a dude fired up.
So, yeah, synthetic scents or whatever. Beavers. Get as many beavers as you can get your hands on.
Is it only beavers, or is it other semi-aquatic critters?
Those musky rats work too, but beavers.
That's the way to go.
That's the way to go. That caster.
Yeah.
Male and female. Oh. You can sell it, or you can bait it. I bait it. I like to hang them from the trees, so that I like to bait it in away from a tree that makes it difficult for the bears to, you know, rip down or take away from the bait site. Because I also like to use meat scraps from the local butcher.
Yeah.
But, you know, bones and scraps and stuff. They'll often take those scraps away, especially the bones, or like you got a bone that has some leftovers on it, and they'll take that away, they'll go bury it.
Yeah.
Whether it be 50 yards away or off in the struk where you can't see. Struk meaning bush.
That's more bloating.
Yeah. So all of a sudden you'll see them digging up bones. I'm digging up bones. Digging up bones. Randy Travis.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I picked that one up.
So beavers, butcher scraps, candy. If you, in Winnipeg, there's big companies that make candy, etc. If you can get your hands on some candy scraps, that's always good. Or
trick or treating.
Yeah. Some companies you can actually get like candy licks from that you chain to a tree, specifically for baiting purposes.
Really?
Pretty much, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, they I think
like a salt block, but candy.
Yeah,
I'd recommend. Basically, that'd be a good thing for a kid to have.
I think
tie that thing to a tree. That kid isn't gonna leave for days.
Yeah, I reckon they just take, you know, the odds and ends that end up on the floor and put them in a plastic container and just, or melt them down and chuck them in this container and then sell them like that.
Hmm.
So
I'd recommend you to get on the kiddo train, have a couple kiddos so they can collect your bear bait for you.
I suppose.
They can go in the dumpsters and pick up your donuts.
Yeah. And other things that I use include, if I can get my hands on some pastries, you know, donuts, whatever, muffins, bread. They like apples, so apples as well. You know, if I bait in fall, I use a lot of crab apples, but in springtime, they're not ready yet, obviously.
I reckon if you need some crab apples, I can find you a whole mess of them.
Oh, I believe it.
It's actually what I use for getting pictures of deers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, baiting deers is illegal.
That's right.
Completely. You can't use scents.
That's right. You
cannot use attractants.
That's right.
You cannot use food. But a little bit of trickery in the wording of the rule says nothing about keeping your deer around long enough to have a picture and a good look at the antler size on them. So often what I'll do is I'll go, our farmyard's got 4 crab apple trees and they drop left, right, and center. And I tell you what, when they start fermenting, the deer love them.
Oh, yeah.
You can put your best acorn scent down. I'm telling you, deer are going to pick that crab apple any day of the week.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll often go out and drop a couple pails of crab apples out there and then let my camera sit for a week and just make a trip out of it. And not only that, and maybe I shouldn't be saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway, you're training your deer. Your deer are going to want to come out long into season to get them crab apples. And as long as you're not putting them down in season, you're not baiting.
You're not baiting.
But they're looking for it.
Yeah, it says nothing about, well, I'm not going to get into the fine print of the rules today.
No, I don't really feel like putting on the lawyer suit today, but.
Suit and tie.
Not for me.
Not for me.
What does Cody Johnson always say? I ain't never been inside a 3-piece suit.
That's right.
Good old boy.
Kojo.
Kojo Nation.
Texas Cowboy.
Yes, sir. Texas.
A Texas kind of way.
Who?
Just wrap up this bear baiting part here. Yeah. Oats / corn / sweet feed /
rotting flesh.
/ restaurant grease. Obviously beavers are, I will, quote me on this, put me on record, beavers are your best source of bait. All
right.
But you also need stuff like oats or corn, just to, you know, volumes, yeah. Carbs.
Yeah, because they're looking for it comes
that energy, like the beavers, that's a big attractant and they love it. They absolutely love it, but giving them oats, that's carbs, that's energy for bears coming out of hibernation.
Yeah, yeah, so I'd reckon they need that.
That is key as well. It works great. Yeah, so pastries, apples, anything, any dinner scraps, basically, you know, anything sweet. Some guys mix sugar, just you go buy basic cane sugar from a bulk store and mix that in your baits because bears like sweet. They like.
I reckon you could do that with popcorn.
Yeah.
Pop it and just mix it in with a couple cups of sugar in there, get it all slimed up and mm-hmm. send it out there.
Put it in your oats, put it in your corn.
Yep, there's your sweet feed pretty much.
Yep.
Minus your wheat or barley, but. Lye molasses, but you're replacing the sweet.
Molasses is sweet, so you can replace it with cane sugar, but molasses is. Not like super expensive.
No, it's not bad at all.
So, and you don't. And as far as molasses goes, if you're buying it by the bag, that'll go a long way.
Oh, for sure.
Sweet feed is only mixed with what, 3% molasses?
If that. That would be a pretty rich sweet feed already.
Yeah. So you need very very.
Because that stuff can eat to
yeah.
Hooves critters, they love it.
Yeah. So.
So now I guess. I know we wanted to wrap up the baiting session, but I got one more question here.
Sure.
So when, I mean, I've looked for deer spots for the last 10 years of my life.
Okay.
And I know what I'm looking for in a good deer spot, I'd like to think. Now, are you looking for the same thing in a bear spot? I mean, obviously you're looking for shelter, for water, and for food, right? You want a food source there. But because bears are...
A different animal?
Well, they're omnivores, right? Yeah. They're going to eat meat or... plants and vegetables, it's got to be a lot harder to find a food source, right? You can pie that off and go, I got 2/3 of what they're looking for, but.
Well, the things I look for is population. Are the bears there?
Yeah.
That's step one.
First and foremost, oh yeah.
You got to know they're there.
Yeah, yeah. What I'm saying is like, once you know that, once you go to an area, you see sign, right? You're seeing bear tracks, you're seeing scrapes scat. On trees, you're seeing scat, you're seeing whatever, right? You know there's bears in the area. How do you pick your final spot where you're going to hang your stand?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to venture off in the bush. I'm going to look at, first of all, once I find the general area, I'm going to pull up satellite maps. I'm going to look. I'm going to see what's around there. Yeah. I'm going to look for potential little openings. Openings meaning no bigger than, oh boy, I'd say 140 square yards kind of thing. So like 20 yards by 20 yards or...
Yeah, just a little opening in a...
No, I guess I'd need a little bit bigger than that.
You're looking for about 500 square feet.
No, a little bit bigger than that, actually. Got my math wrong there. Okay. I'd say more like... Oh... Shoot, what would I say? Probably 20 yards by 20 yards is pretty good.
Okay.
I love a little opening, but not. It doesn't have to be all open, though. It can be some trees in there.
Sparse spot, tree population.
I'll probably, if there's little shrubs and stuff, I'll probably cut those all down.
Yeah.
But you want, so yeah, you need a little clearing. You don't need a clearing, but I like to use them. But again, not too big. And then you're going to want to make sure you can get a good shooting lane. Make sure there's good, healthy trees in that area to hang your stands on, if you're using a stand. If you're hunting from the ground, that's another story. Because guys do that.
I'd reckon that you would have to have some adrenaline coursing through your veins to hunt a bear from the ground.
Yeah.
Because that's a critter that'll turn and snap on you. Not only that, very rarely does a bear travel in one.
This is true. Another thing, you want to have dense bush.
All right. Shelter.
Shelter. Dense bush around. Yep. Because, yeah, bears tend to like to be sheltered in the dense bush. It's a security, right?
Yep, exactly.
Obviously, they'll venture in the open here and there. But if you want to get those big bruisers, those 20-plus inch skulls, you know, those BNCs, those Pope and Youngs,
yes, sir.
You need to do your homework and get that dense bush. You got to make them feel safe.
Hunting's only like a third of what you actually have to do to get yourself a big animal, really. It's just such a small fraction. Like
the work is...
It's ridiculous. So we're mid-March right now, and I'm already getting perked up for deer season. And I mean, I'm 6 months away. Well, yeah. Countdown's on. It's just over 5 months.
Yeah.
Right? I'm 5 months of... And I'm probably a little late starting.
Eh.
There's guys that have already been hanging cameras for 2-3 weeks. Right, to see just what's in the area. And I mean, that's, you're going to work 6 months to sit in a stand a couple days, you know?
Maybe you get lucky, sit 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to hang my hat on that one no more. I think that was the beginner's luck side of things finally coming through. But there's a lot of work. And then never mind once you get an animal down. Now you got to drag the thing out of there and bears cry. When they get killed, that's what I've heard anyway.
They do. I've heard it. I shouldn't say I've heard it. I've seen it. I've heard it.
Yeah.
They don't all do it.
Yeah, I'd reckon.
But they do, and it is very eerie.
That's what I've heard.
It is one of the weirdest things you'll ever hear in your life.
That's what I've heard.
Be ready for that. If you ever take a bear, all you listeners out there, if you ever take a bear, be ready to hear that.
It's I heard like, it's an emotional time for a hunter. Even if you're a strong, macho man, the man, and I don't claim to be, you know, this... big macho Arnold Schwarzenegger fella, but I also don't claim to be a soft little city boy Pris.
Yeah.
I've heard that it's a pretty emotional thing that can happen.
Oh, yeah.
Critters cry.
That'll catch you by surprise. It's like when you poke a rabbit and they scream.
I've never had it happen to me yet.
It's a little bit weird.
I've never had a rabbit scream. The first time I heard a rabbit scream was on a coyote collar. Like on a varmint collar.
Yeah.
I had no idea what the sound was because the little thing on the soundboard was scratched off. And I clicked the button and all of a sudden I hear, "Ree, ree, 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 ree." Don't quote me on the sound, but just going off. And then a coyote came trotting in. He was all fired up thinking he was going to kill him. Blouch! He gone.
It's kind of the, I guess it's essentially the same thing in quotation marks.
Yep.
I mean, obviously it's different species of animals, blah, blah, blah. But, that'll tug on you for sure. Be ready for that. Once your bear's down and, you know, expiring, if you're put your weapon away, you know.
Excuse me.
If you can see it and it's expiring, you know, make sure there's no bullets in the gun. You know, if you're so happen to be sitting with somebody, maybe pass it off to them. You're gonna be rushing.
Oh yeah.
You know, just be safe about it.
Well, you know, I've always heard, you know, give an animal 45 to an hour to just...
Especially a bear.
Especially a bear, because they'll... Like, I know a little bit about bears. I've hunted a few bears in my day, but, like, they'll run through the thickest, darkest struck just to pack a wound. Mm-hmm. They'll roll in the dirt to try and pack a wound. Like, a deer won't do that. A deer's going to run... Naturally, a deer's going to run to where he's safe. His soulless, right? So,
yeah.
Half the time when you find a deer...
close to his home.
You know you're close to where he's living. Because deer don't have big home ranges, especially during the rut. Like, they open up a little bit, but for the most part, they want to stay close to home because they basically want to breed and sleep. Breed and sleep.
Yeah.
So, I'd reckon, you know, if 45 to an hour watching an animal expire, that's a good, safe bet. And, I mean, it all depends on your shot placement. If it's a little low, a little back, you know, give them more time, because the last thing you want to do is get an animal all excited and chase him off another mile.
Yeah. Or end up getting face to face on the ground with a wounded bear.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to come out swinging.
Yeah, and that's not a fight you're going to win unless you are ready to blouch him.
Yeah.
Right quick. And if you're hunting archery, well, that's a slow draw.
I think in French you'd say difficile.
I don't speak French, but I'm going to say it's difficult.
Yeah. So, yeah. You want a clearing, a little bit of a clearing perhaps. You want to have good shooting lanes, good healthy trees to hang your stand on if you're stand hunting. And you want to be with, like, fairly close to a water source. And if there's beavers nearby, even better. And travel corridor. You want to be close to a travel corridor, maybe even on one.
Are you talking about a travel corridor for the bear or a travel corridor for you? Because I'd reckon you'd want to be
for the bear.
Yeah, okay. Because I was going to say, if you're on a travel corridor for you, that means other people know about it.
That's exactly.
Even you don't want to be hanging your stand right near a driving lane.
That's correct. In the Manitoba Hunting Guide, it states to try to make your baits as inconspicuous as possible.
Yeah. Doesn't your stand have to be 50, or not have to
no,
be,
but there's they no, suggest, there's no.
They suggest 50 yards off a trail?
They don't suggest a number, but it's, yeah, don't do it along a main trail.
Yeah.
Like an established trail. If you have to, make your own little quad trail into the bush.
Yeah, yeah. And even that, hide it.
Hide it.
Like,
yeah.
Everything you're going to cut down for shooting lanes, stack it up. No, you have to stack it up. Just put branches around where you're driving in so that you know that, hey, you know, if somebody's whizzing by there on a dirt bike, they're not going to think, hey, that didn't look normal.
Yeah.
Right? Most people aren't paying attention to that.
Yeah.
If you're looking for it, yeah, sure, you can find a lot of things in nature. But if you're not looking for it, you'd be surprised how many things you miss.
Yep.
I almost missed 5 elk today. Speaking of elks. I don't know if we're done talking about bears, but that just came up.
Segue.
That was a good segue. Chuck Bush, get on my level.
Elk, Manitoba.
Elk in Whiteshell.
Manitoba. Subspecies, elk. They say. According to the interweb.
Yes, we did look that up one time.
We did. Was that last week? Yeah, it was last week.
That was last week. I don't think we did it on the podcast. I think it was before.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because right. I listened to the podcast and we didn't bring it up in there. But anyway, I was driving past, another plug for Prada, driving on the number one home. And I look over and I think, man, those deer are really close. And then I realize, hang on, those deer are rather white around the neck. Hold on, they're not close. That's an elk, and I've seen about 5 of them today.
Near Prada.
In, just outside of Prada, on a little alfalfa field. You see the alfalfa starting to poke through a little bit?
Okay.
With, I guess, the farmer didn't cut it before.
So it's long, yeah?
Yeah, it's a little long. And, I seen 5 elk grazing there, and I thought, well, shoot.
I think I know about where that is.
Yeah, it's about a mile, I guess it'd be west Prada. Maybe a little over. I could be getting wrong on that one.
Okay.
But, yeah, little corner alfalfa field, and just, like, no bigger than 10-acre section, at least on that one little fence area. And, yeah, there they were, grazing away, happy as could be, and I thought, man, what I would do to hunt elk in the Whiteshell area of Manitoba.
Maybe one day again.
Well, there was never an elk season out in Whiteshell.
You sure?
I'm almost sure of it. You can double check me on that one. But I'm pretty certain that there was never an elk season in the Whiteshell area.
Could be.
I know there was one in Vida years back.
Years ago. Moose season as well.
That was long before our time.
I'd say.
Long before. And now you got to pretty much go out west if you want to boss yourself an elk.
Or Interlake.
Interlake,
2 hours north.
But the thing with hunting, like I've hunted elk in the Interlake, and the thing is with that, it's so overhunted.
Yeah.
And just like here, it is very hard to get permission on any land for hunting elk. Guys will give you whitetail permission left, right, and center. The second you bring up elk hunting, you have lost your right to even look at the house.
Yeah.
They're pretty much asking you for your firstborn child right there. That is not a fun conversation to have, and I've had to have it. Now, lucky enough, I got family, friends out in the Interlake. When the time comes to get around to an elk hunt between Flatlands Field and Fowl and Tall Oak Pursuits, I think it's plural, now that I think about it. But anyway.
You sure?
Let's double check that real quick.
Should we? Should we double check?
I'm a fact checker.
Sure.
Yanni. Janis
Pudelis.
I heard that.
Latvian Eagle.
The Latvian Eagle. A.K.A. the Latvian Lover. A.K.A. Old Long Tong himself.
There it is.
It is Pursuit.
The former elk guide. You know, Patelis.
Yeah.
Tall Irk Pursuit.
There's that English again, yeah. Tall Oak Pursuit 18 on Instagram. And you can head on over while you're here.
To the face page?
The face page, but I was actually going to specifically go to Flatlands Field and Fowl on the old IG-gram.
And the face page. It's live.
Your face page lived up, eh?
Oh, it's been lived up. I didn't do anything with it for a bit, but it's not very hot at the moment. But hey, all in due time, they say.
Patience is a virtue.
The face page, I remember, old boss of mine, he said, I wouldn't have a Facebook, I'd only have a face page. All right, Ron.
You know you're dealing with old school Mennonites.
You know Ron.
What's Ron?
Old son's brother. The guy that signs your paychecks, old son.
Oh, yes, sir.
Real good guy. Stand up guy.
That whole family there.
Stand up.
They are great people.
Yeah.
They are great people.
They are good.
They got some really good hunting land though too.
Oh boy.
Boy howdy. If Monsieur Scotty and Ty weren't about the hunting life, I bet you had blocked a few deer out there.
They're not the only ones in that family.
No, I know.
But, so, elk in the Whiteshell.
That's not even
Whiteshell. That's Prada.
That's
in between land. That's no man's land.
Yeah, but I'd reckon that would fall under.
That's almost Sandylands. That is Sandylands already. Yep.
Does the Sandylands start at McMunn?
Haddishville. Before Haddishville, actually, and Haddishville is before.
Yeah.
Prada.
Yeah, but if you're going east, Haddishville's before Prada. If you're going east.
What?
Haddishville?
I thought it was after.
No, it's before.
Oh, shoot. Right on the tip, then.
Because it's, come on, Dawson. Dawson Trail runs through there.
Yeah.
And it's Haddishville, and then the Dawson Trail, and then Prada. Because Prada is where that big, it splits into the big four-lane area.
Yeah, I know.
Right in the bear country. That looks like you could see a bear pop out at any given
minute. Extended, richer bear country.
Good old Richard. Good rodeo they have every year.
I don't think I've been to that one yet.
That's a good one. Tell you what, they got a quite an extensive bullarama night. It's a good time, yeah. It's a really good time.
I'm excited for some rodeos this year.
Oh, boy, howdy. Old Quentin Blair.
Yeah.
There's a shout out.
Quentin Blair, you're the man.
We need to get him on a podcast.
One day.
Quentin Blair.
He told me I could stop by any time, so.
May have to use that invite.
Might have to, yeah. Go stop by, sit in the barn. Shoot the breeze.
Yes,
sir.
Talk
about it.
Well, concluding thoughts? Can we say concluding thoughts? Or is that trademarked by Steve Rinella? I'm wondering. Can we call it final thoughts? Final inquiries?
Today we'll call it final thoughts. We'll have to come up with a better
one. We're going to have to come up with a better one.
But we can't say concluding thoughts.
Because that's just...
That's too knockoff.
That is. Might as well call us Knockoff TV.
Mr. John Dudley himself.
Really good guy.
Really good guy.
Final thoughts?
Final thoughts? Excitement's building for the 2018 Spring Bear season here in Manitoba.
Finish your ribbons.
Finish your ribbons.
I think it's going to be our new catchphrase. We got to put that on a shirt.
Finish your ribbons.
Finish your ribbons.
If you want to see what that is, then you'll have to head over to the Bushmaster 25 Instagram page and find a video from the beginning of March 2018. A cooking video. An instructional cooking video.
Quick little plug here before we run out of time. Quite the chef yourself. You like to play around in the kitchen. I mean, as do I.
I like to fool around in the kitchen.
As do I.
Creating things.
Especially with wild game.
Yeah. I'm the type of guy that's just... I like to learn things just by trying.
Yeah, learn to do by doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not gonna, like... I don't want to be that guy that's like, can I do this? Can I do that? Should I do this? Should I do that? When it comes to cooking food, as long as your meat is, you know...
Cooked.
Cooked to the proper temperature it needs to be cooked to.
We don't want no trichinosis here.
That's right. Do whatever the heck you want to do.
See,
don't be afraid to mix things. If you don't like it, well, sucks to suck.
Yeah, you're gonna have to stomach
it. Eat it and don't do it next time.
I tell you what, I'm the worst at making steak because I make such a really good steak, but I forget what I put in my marinade all the time because it's just whatever's in the spice. Like, whatever I can reach as fast as I can to make steak, that's what's going in there.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you hit a bang-on recipe like, man, I wish I would have wrote that down. Shucks, now I'm going to have to try it again.
Shoot.
Gives me a good excuse to eat some steak, though.
Well, shoot.
Well, shoot, old son.
I reckon it's just about time to start at the Barbies.
It's been an episode.
Yeah.
Is that what you were getting at?
I meant
the barbecue.
I meant the barbecue.
It is going
to because it's middle of March and the snow is starting to melt.
Real nice.
Real nice.
Real nass.
Real NASCAR.
That's a really good card. Do you ever see that one? We got that from my grandpa for his birthday one year. It says, how did NASCAR get started?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's NASCAR.
Yeah, I seen that.
I thought that was pretty funny.
I done seen that, old son.
Well.
Any final thoughts for you? Oh, final thoughts. That's the Tommy Lahren.
Oh, dead
piece. We'll say it today.
We'll say it today. We'll come up with something better for you folks.
The concludal thoughts.
Concludal thoughts.
A mixture.
Yeah, we'll have to work on that a little bit. The final draw. Nah, I can't really go that far. That's just cheesy. Final thoughts for me. Excitement is building. I mean, I'm fired up to get out there. Even just to go shooting outside. I'm looking forward to pulling back a bow for the first time in a little while here and...
Few hiccups in the last while.
Yeah, few health issues we've had in the last little bit, or I've had, I should say, in the last little while. So I'm looking forward to getting back out there and blouch! Get that thing tuned up, sighted in, and ready for a deer.
How about it?
Finish your ribbons.
Kids, all you kids out there, finish your ribbon.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about.
Just kidding, you kids, don't finish your ribbon.
Not until you're 18. At least.
Alright!
I guess so.
Episode 2 in the books.
Wrap it up. Signing off.
All you listeners out there, thanks for checking us out. Not like checking us out, but listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening to just two mugs bantering back and forth, really.
Mugs bantering.
Yeah.
Hashtag mugs bantering.
Hashtag we just got a new hashtag.
Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
Well, I'm T-Freeze, 31 on the personal account, or Tall Pursuit, 18.
You're listening to the Flatlands Fuel and Foul podcast, produced by Bushmaster 25's special guest, Tanner Friesen, T-Freeze 31.
Hey. And at Flatlands Fuel and Foul.
I guess so.
Don't forget to plug that one.
Hopefully some videos coming soon.
Hey, with scouting getting underway.
We'll some really cool ones, et cetera.
Things in the works.
Anyways.
Keep fit, have fun.
Keep hammering.
Keep fit. Have fun, keep hammering. Hashtag...
Keep your stick on the ice, you kids.
Hashtag mugs bantering.
Hashtag mugs bantering. All right.